A lesson from the Donald Trump School of Education.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. New York's Attorney General is suing the real estate mogul Donald Trump for fraud and violating consumer protection laws. The suit stems from complaints dating back to 2005 over Trump University, a school of sorts to teach people the finer points of the real estate business. Joining us is Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. So, Dan, why does the Attorney General think that students did not get their money's worth from Trump University, or what's now called the Trump Entrepreneur Institute?
Well, the AG is alleging that students who paid anywhere from $1,500 to $35,000 would work with hand-picked instructors to land real estate deals. Now, according to the AG, once students entered the university, they were encouraged to enroll in additional mentorships that cost tens of thousands of dollars. Here's the kicker, though, David. Students thought they'd meet Trump, but all they got was their photo taken with a life-size picture of the man. Trump's lawyers now say the case is politically motivated, that really the AG is just upset because Trump didn't write a big enough check to the AG when he was running for office.
The sort of story that will be a field day for the New York tabloids. But the story might have ties to the wider discussion going on now about how the federal government is cracking down on accreditation in higher education.
Yeah, you're right. It does. You know, whether it's a for-profit or a not-for-profit school, there's a lot of concern right now that schools are luring these students in, getting their tuition, and then delivering a less-than-stellar product. Last week, the Obama administration issued a proposal that would rate schools on some measures like graduation rate, debt, and earnings of graduates. Now, if you believe what the New York Attorney General is saying about Trump school, it's pretty easy to guess where the Trump Entrepreneur Institute would fall.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, David.
Biotech giant Amgen is buying Onyx Pharmaceuticals for $10.4 billion. Onyx makes a multiple myeloma drug that should generate $2 billion a year in sales. And in early trading today, Amgen's stock was up 7%. The feud continues between Time Warner Cable and CBS over how much the cable provider should pay the network to carry its shows. CBS has been dark since earlier this month for millions of Time Warner customers. As Sarah McCammon reports, both sides have a lot to lose if they can't reach a deal ahead of one important event.
There's a lot of pressure on CBS and Time Warner Cable to work out their differences,
especially given that the season is about to kick off in earnest.
The NFL football season, that is. It's the most popular sport on TV, and it starts September 5th. Eric Brannon is an analyst with IHS Electronics and Media.
If I'm a customer and I'm a significant NFL fan, I'm going to start thinking about alternative platforms.
Brannon says fans might switch to another cable provider, but Time Warner Cable spokesman John Gary Herrera says there's no need for that.
CBS is still delivered over the air for free in all these markets.
And the cable company is offering some customers free antennas. A CBS spokesman declined to speak on the record, but analyst Eric Brannon says the network is losing money, possibly millions, in payments from Time Warner Cable while its channels are dark.
They're giving up, you know, possible revenue, holding out for more later.
But with football season starting next week, Brannon says he doesn't think either side can hold out for long. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Here's a number of the day. 7.1 billion people and counting here on planet Earth. And since most are not vegetarian, that means a growing hunger for protein from meat. Yet beef, pork, and chicken production consumes a lot of resources, which is hard to sustain as the population grows. Now, a United Nations report has a creepy-crawly solution. Eat more bugs. Marketplace's Mark Garrison got assigned our story on the condition that he tastes.
At the Center for Social Innovation in New York, they're getting drinks and snacks ready for an event. The main course also provides a faint soundtrack to the evening. Outside, these chirping crickets are pests. In here, they're dinner. The crickets hop around in a clear plastic contraption about the size of a vacuum cleaner, kind of a steampunk habit trail. It's a prototype for a compact cricket farm. Jacob DeZamba created it.
This piece would farm about 2,500 crickets every 8 weeks. Sorry, can I just, do you mind if I...
A rebel cricket is escaping. Azamba darts in, taping up the breach.
I think I found the leak, though.
He says a farm this size is an easy, cheap way to provide enough protein for two full meals a week. As people mingle, University of Georgia entomologist Marianne Shockley says bugs provide protein at a fraction of the cost of beef.
They require less water, they require less space, and they require a small amount of food.
All three are scarce in the developing world. Some cultures already eat insects, either ground into flour or whole, but many people feel like Caitlin Kelly.
Seeing the insect and its eyes and its legs, it's just kind of those kind of gross aspects of insects.
Aruna Handa enjoys eating bugs. She organizes events like this to get squeamish consumers and entrepreneurs interested, too.
There's a golden opportunity here, and we just have to figure out how to convince people to give it a try.
Like me. Cookie Martinez, normally a baker, shows me her cricket cuisine.
So we have cricket and crostini.
I'll try just a cricket, what would you call it, cricket?
Cricket sashimi.
You leave the legs on and everything?
Everything.
And crunchy. It's not a bad little snack. Do I have any legs in my teeth? I feel like I have a leg in my tooth right now.
You're fine.
Bug believers, now including the UN, say if enough people eat the occasional insect, the world will be better fed and better off. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And the first woman to own a seat at the all-male club known as the New York Stock Exchange has died. Muriel Siebert was 80. She bought the seat not back in the medieval era, but in 1967. Despite being a partner in a pair of top brokerages, her application was at first met by naysaying and ridicule. Plus, she had to obtain a special credit line from banks before the seat was turned over. It took nearly another decade before a second woman held a seat on the exchange. Mickey Siebert donated millions to help other women-owned businesses over the years. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.